Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to this Wednesday night edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation is dripping with imagery and symbolism. But let me tell you something, those symbols and images represent literal events that will come to pass during the time of Jacob's trouble after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place. Don't make the mistake of thinking somehow symbolic imagery cannot also be literal and actual. Mysteries like the seven angels and the seven stars become clear when we allow our King James Bible to interpret itself to bring us to the proper conclusion. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are traveling nearly 2,000 years into the past, coming back, and then just a short hop forward on the calendar to where we are right now here in March of 2021. The reason for the dual time trip is because we are told to observe the things that, one, have been, the things that, two, are, and the things that, three, will be after we go. In order to rightly divide what we read, we need to view these events from the same perspective that the Apostle John did, from heaven. The seven churches of Revelation are not such a mystery when we look where John looked and stand where John stood, in the throne room of heaven. Bible prophecy is not hard to understand. The hard part is believing what you read. It is the wildest book in human history, and tonight we will pay a little visit to the seven churches of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars of the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing on tonight's program. We ask you, Lord, to open up your word to us in a new and fresh way. And Lord, there's many, many people listening tonight who need to hear from you, God. Not from me, but they need to hear from you. And Lord, for the lost people that tune in, we pray that they'll get a special blessing and something will be said and done that would lead a lost person to you, Lord. Father, we ask you to meet with us now, and we're grateful, and we're seeking your face, and we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. For those of you that have been praying for our sister Lori Ann, way up there in Maine, she came through the surgery on Monday with flying colors. She's sore, she's tired, but she's recovering nicely, and she sends her heartfelt gratitude to everybody who has lifted her up in prayer through this procedure and through this time. So please continue to pray for Lori Ann and ask that the Lord would give her a complete and total healing. But it was so exciting to see her come through that surgery with flying colors. Exciting story today. Long-time listeners to the Now the End Begins program, Bill and Marilyn up in Georgia. And they have been such a blessing to this ministry. They have been donating to the free Bible and tract program for quite some time now. And about 2 weeks ago, Bill, he sent me an email, and he asked me what I thought of the idea of him getting a digital billboard up there in Milledgeville, Georgia. And would it be a good idea to have an NTEB, will you be left behind, type of message for the people in Georgia. I thought that was a fantastic idea, and we made the artwork for it. And today in Milledgeville, Georgia, the first ever NTE billboard, and I have a feeling it's not the last. In fact, I am positive that it's not the last one that's going to go up. But in Milledgeville, Georgia, Bill and Marilyn have provided the funding to and they believe me when I tell you it was their idea. They took it upon themselves, and I was so excited by that that I did an article about that just a couple of hours ago. And this is exactly what we need to be doing. Now, not everybody can afford to rent a billboard. That's true. But everybody can do something. Everybody can pray. Everybody can donate a little bit. Everybody can share links on their social media and in email. People can write Left Behind letters that your friends and loved ones would be able to read after we go. But I wanted to just give a shout out to Bill and Marilyn to thank them for their faithfulness, their continued faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and their wonderful continued support of Now the End Begins. And please pray for this billboard that's up in Milledgeville, Georgia. And just pray that it would be a convicting witness, that it would be comforting to the saints. And it would be an absolute wake-up call to the lost people, asking them, will you be left behind? What a great question. And so today in Milledgeville, Georgia, the first ever NTEB billboard has gone up. And we are just excited by that. And it is such a blessing to see the saints of God getting excited. Because we always talk about getting something done for the Lord Jesus Christ while there's still time left to do it. And we're having a little bit of a remnant church revival here. And we have been for quite some time, for the past year now. And it's no accident. It is absolute, and we're going to see this when we talk about the seven churches tonight. The time that God's church is functioning at full capacity is when there is persecution and tribulation with a small t from the outside world. Prosperous times kill the church. And you're going to see the very last church in the seven church ages, which is our church age, the Laodicean church. That's a church that is filled with money and provisions and houses and lands and all sorts of things. And it is a lukewarm church that Jesus spits out of his mouth. And when we look at these seven churches tonight and we see the trajectory starting from the year 29 to 33 AD, going all the way up to 2021 and following, the times that the church has done the most is when it has experienced persecution. And we are starting to go into that time period now. We are starting to go into a time of persecution. It's starting gradually. But make no mistake about it, it has begun. It has started. But we're not afraid of that. Because we have been called to the front lines of the end times. And we are here to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but that excites me to a very, very high degree. That we have the privilege. God has left us here long enough that we find ourselves on the front lines of the end times. And we are ready to get something done for him. We are not afraid. We are strong, and we are united as the remnant church. And we have all met here through the ministry of Now the End Begins that God raised up 12 years ago. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the fight. I really am, and I hope you are too.
Thank you.
It has been a very interesting week for news so far. There's a lot of end times news happening right now. We gave you the update earlier today. Pope Francis, what was he doing on Sunday? Well, he was on the phone with your friend. I say that sarcastically. Pope Francis spent almost an hour on Sunday with Emmanuel Macron, president of France and the person that we contend is the biblical man of sin. What was Pope Francis doing on the phone with Emmanuel Macron for nearly an hour? He sure seems to give Macron a lot of favorable treatment that he doesn't give to any other world leader. And you can Google that. That's a fact. Pope Francis has private 40-minute phone call with Emmanuel Macron discussing his recent success in Ur of the Chaldees. We call this a Chrislam update. And it only makes sense that if Pope Francis is the false prophet and Emmanuel Macron is the biblical man of sin, that they would be congratulating each other on the Pope's recent trip to Ur of the Chaldees in Iraq, which is the biblical birthplace of Abraham. The Abrahamic Faith Initiative, the Abrahamic Family House, the Abraham Accords. What do all those things have in common? they all have in common is the covenant that Antichrist is going to confirm with the Jewish people after we leave here in the rapture. And Isaiah chapter 28, a chapter that is absolutely packed to overflowing with end times prophetical information. Isaiah 28, starting in verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of the lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. This, of course, is talking about the time of the Great Tribulation. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and when he says this, he is referencing Jeremiah 30, 5 through 7. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. There'll be no hiding place. There'll be no getting out of that one. This is the day of the Lord at the Battle of Armageddon. This is the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble. And Emmanuel Macron and Pope Francis, buddy, buddy, they are as thick as thieves. Emmanuel Macron has had more private and longer audiences with Pope Francis than any other world leader in the 8 years that Jorge Bergoglio has been Pope Francis. Why does he give such special treatment to Emmanuel Macron, a man who is not even a Catholic? Let that thought sink in. Emmanuel Macron's not even a Catholic. He was baptized in the Catholic Church at the age of 12, and then he promptly left the Catholic Church. We wrote an article a number of months ago, May of 2020. Lori D. from Pennsylvania and I brought you this article called Your Head Will Spin After You Realize That Emmanuel Macron Has Both Jewish Ancestry and Inexplicable Ties to Rome and the Assyrian Empire. If you want to know why we think that Emmanuel Macron just might be the biblical man of sin, we invite you to read this article. The reasons why we think that Emmanuel Macron might possibly be the biblical man of sin. And that article, if you're a Bible believer, that article absolutely will make your head spin. Isaiah 10:5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. It's happening. It is happening. We are watching it come together. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting to be seeing all these things coming together exactly as the Bible said that it would, and we are blessed to see this with our eyes? To me, that is thrilling beyond belief. To be on the front lines of the end times, waiting for Flight 777 to take off. Are you ready to fly? I hope so.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now
been telling you for some time now to get ready for the appearance of the Genesis 6 giants, what lost people refer to as space aliens. And we've been telling you for a year and a half now that they have returned and they are here, they are among us. And with each passing month, our governments are revealing more and more hidden information about the presence of creatures from outer space. That's how lost people look at it. They look at it as space aliens and flying saucers, but you and I, who are Bible believers, we know that they're talking about the Nephilim and the Rephaim, talking about the Genesis 6 giants. And these stories have been absolutely coming in great number lately. Today, from the New York Post, here's the headline. UFOs harassed U.S. warships off of California. Mysterious flying objects repeatedly harassed three U.S. warships off the coast of California in 2019. At one point, matching the speed and bearing of one destroyer for 90 minutes, according to newly released details from the ship's logs. The unidentified crafts, described in the logs as, quote, unmanned aerial vehicles, buzzed destroyers for several days, according to the records obtained by the news site The Drive through the U.S. Freedom of Information Act. As many as six of the drones swarmed around the USS Kidd, the USS Rafael Peralta, and USS John Finn over several days. In July of 2019, at times performing what the witnesses called brazen maneuvers. And so here we have from the New York Post just today, the military is, they are getting more and more willing to reveal things that these people see on a daily basis. And I'm telling you, you've got to prepare yourself. They are about to make themselves known very, very, very soon. And people, I have been saying this for quite some time. And up until about 6 or 7 months ago, people thought I was crazy when I talked like that. They would roll their eyes. And now they don't. And now there's no more laughing now. Because there are far too many reports. And look, I am telling you, just mentally prepare yourself to be turning on the news one night in the very near future. And you are going to hear reports of encounters between these visitors from outer space and human beings. You are going to see that. It is highly likely that we will see that before the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place. I have said this for the 12 years that I've been doing Now the End Begins. And I have said that for the 27 years that I have studied Bible prophecy. I have always believed that the church is going to get tagged, so to speak, with a little bit of a taste of the time of Jacob's trouble. We're not going to be in Jacob's trouble. No, we rightly divide. We understand dispensations. But if you think that we're getting out of here without getting at least an appetizer-style preview of the time of Jacob's trouble, then you don't know Bible prophecy, because that is absolutely, absolutely what you should prepare for. And so don't be surprised when you see space aliens on the nightly news. Don't be surprised when you see them actually start to rebuild the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. These things must come to pass. And I have always believed that the church would see a little bit of that before we go. I haven't changed my theology. I am 1,000% pre-tribulation rapture. I understand all the many, many reasons why the church has no business in the time of Jacob's trouble. But you got to mentally prepare to see some things that are going to blow your mind. And don't let it shake you. Don't let it shock you. Set your mind right now to be ready for it. And when you see that, then you know that Flight 777 is literally about to take off. What should we do while we wait? What should we do in the meantime? Well, there's only one thing that we can do. We gotta get ready. Are you ready for what comes next?
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask you to bless us tonight, Lord. We thank you for getting our sister Lori Ann through that surgery, and that type of stuff is always rough, and it's a blessing when we're able to pray for friends and loved ones and members of our NTEB family. Terry asked for a special prayer for her niece, Tabitha Martin, just 28, and she's married with 3 children, and she's in critical condition. She has an enlarged heart, and it's failing her. And Terry says she most likely will not live. And please pray that she isn't suffering in pain, or if God sees fit, to heal her. And we lift up Tabitha Martin. Lord, we ask you to touch her and give her a healing. And if it's your will to take her home, please give her full assurance of her salvation and give the family comfort, Lord. But we do pray for a healing, and we ask you, Lord, to work as only you can and to move as only you can, Father God. And we lift up Tabitha Martin and ask you to touch her, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these that you've gathered in the chat room. I love to see a full chat room. I love to see hundreds of people coming in to lift you up in song and hymns and spiritual songs. And we open up your word together, and it's such a blessing, Father God. And please be with us, Lord, tonight as we look at the 7 churches and give us fresh insight on your prophecy for our times, for the end times. And we just commit this to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Some comments in the chat room when we were right before the break. We were talking about the Great Tribulation and tribulation. They are not the same. They are not the same. The Great Tribulation is an event, and it lasts for approximately 3.5 years. And the Great Tribulation is, it will take place during a very specific period of time that the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble. And that is a 7-year period of time. And back in 2016, Brother Jimmy wrote this great article called Tribulation as a Condition is Not the Same as the Great Tribulation 7-year event that we will see take place in the time of Jacob's trouble. And the Bible says that Christians for 2,000 years have experienced tons of tribulation. But tribulation as a condition, not tribulation as an event. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 21 through 28 2 Corinthians 11, 21 through 28 gives you the Apostle Paul's take on what the apostles had to go through and what Paul specifically endured as a minister of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 11, 21 through 28 say, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times have I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day, a night and a day in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Well, that was the condition of the Apostle Paul. And the Bible says that Christians will suffer tribulation. And we are going to look at the 7 churches tonight. And we are going to see that that also represents a 2,000-year period of time in which the majority of that time, Christians have suffered tribulation as a condition. But tribulation as an event can only take place in the last 3.5 years of the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. So turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1, and let's have an overview of the beginning of the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are therein, for the time is at hand. So, Revelation is the only book in the Bible that promises you a blessing if you will hear the words of Revelation, if you will hear the words of this book, and if you will believe what is written there. The Bible says that you will be blessed if you hear the words of this prophecy and then keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, look at those 6 words, for the time is at hand. This is something that if you don't rightly divide, this will trip you up 10 out of 10 times. Those 6 words, for the time is at hand, that is a conditional statement. That is saying that there is going to be a moment on the end times timeline when the time is going to be at hand for all these things to begin to come to pass. Now, as we're going to see, we don't see that in Revelation chapter 1. But as we begin to make our way through the first 3 chapters of the book of Revelation, we see something play out that's very, very clear and very plain. In the first 3 chapters of the book of Revelation, you have an introduction, and most of Revelation chapter 1 is, you can call it greetings and salutations, you can call it the prelude, you can call it the introduction, but that's what Revelation chapter 1 is. It is an overview of a number of different events, and it is a prelude into the main thrust of the book of Revelation. Now, what is the main thrust of the book of Revelation? It is chapters 4 through 19. Revelation 4 through 19 is the major focus of the book of Revelation. And the events that take place in Revelation 4 through 19, that is the time and that is what is at hand. So, when you see these type of statements in Bible prophecy, and it's talking about conditional time statements, if you do not rightly divide and put those things where they belong, you are going, because this is what a lot of people say. Well, the book of Revelation was written in the year 96. And the year 96, when you subtract 96 from 2021, and let me just pull up my calculator here. When you have 2021 minus 96, that's 1,925 years. So, I come across people all the time and they say, I can't believe the book of Revelation because it says here in Revelation 1:3, for the time is at hand. The time was not at hand in 96 AD. John is saying here that the time is at hand when the time begins. And you see the same thing when you get to Matthew chapter 24. And all through the New Testament, you see conditional time statements like, behold, I come quickly. And then you say, well, it's been 2,000 years. I guess it's not all that fast. Keep your finger in Revelation chapter 1. And go to Matthew chapter 24, and I want to show you what I'm talking about. And this is a biblical principle that you have to wrap your head around. And I promise you that if you'll grab hold of what I'm saying, it will really, really, really help you out. But when you don't do that, you wind up with heresies like preterism. If you are a preterist, you believe that 99% of everything in the book of Revelation and 99% of everything in Matthew 24 took place in 70 AD. And people become preterists because they don't rightly divide. And when you don't rightly divide, it mushes everything together and you wind up with a big problem. So in Matthew chapter 24, this is filled with a number of conditional time statements. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When will the end come? Well, after this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now, you might say, well, hasn't the gospel been preached for the last 2,000 years? Yes, but it's not the gospel of the kingdom. It is the gospel of the grace of God. That is what the Apostle Paul refers to as my gospel. And Paul's gospel is not the gospel of the kingdom. Revelation 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Romans 16:25. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. And then 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, this is the gospel of the grace of God. It is not the gospel of the kingdom. And this is why we say we follow the Apostle Paul. And here's a passage that you hear me, I quote this passage all the time. And there's a reason for it. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the gospel that he was given. Go back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Now, after the rapture, you're going to have the time of Jacob's trouble. And what dispensation is it going to be? It is going to be the gospel, it is going to be the kingdom dispensation. And the kingdom dispensation, which was started back in Acts chapter 2 and was put on hold at the end of Acts chapter 7, God is going to go back to that time and he is going to finish what began in Acts chapters 2 through 7. And that will be exactly like Peter and the Jewish believers. Revelation 7 says God raises up the 144,000 male Jewish virgins. The focus goes back to the gospel of the kingdom. And Matthew 24:14. Now we understand this conditional time statement. And this gospel of the kingdom, thank you 144,000 that God raises up, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Turn to Mark chapter 16, and I'll show you the same thing happening here. Mark 16, starting in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Acts 2:38. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24:14. So, getting back to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It's not at hand right now. It has not been at hand for the last 1925 years. But after we get out of here in the rapture, the time is going to be at hand. And this is how you understand conditional time statements in the Bible. We understand them by rightly dividing what we read and being dispensationally correct with our conclusions. And then we understand, oh, I see what John's saying. For the time is at hand. He's talking in the future. Exactly right. And the time that John was talking about is future yet for us as well. So, if you're taking notes, write that down. When you're reading in Bible prophecy, something that I call a conditional time statement, in computer talk, what they call Boolean coding. Another name for it is an if-then statement, okay? And these are conditional statements, and here in Revelation 1:3, it is a time conditional statement. So John is saying, for the time is at hand. It's not at hand yet, but it will be. And this is how you have to go into the book of Revelation. Now, I told you earlier that the chapter 1 of the book of Revelation is an overview. It's greetings and salutations. It is an explanation of what you're about to read. Revelation chapter 1 sets the table for the other 21 chapters that follow. And here's John's greeting. Revelation 1:4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. This is not Asia like China and Korea and Japan. That is the Far East. Years ago, they used to call that the Near East. But I got ahead of myself. The Far East is Thailand, China, Japan. That is the Far East, what we used to call the Orient. What they used to call the Near East, which is now what we call the Middle East, which is Lebanon, Iraq, Iran, Israel, Jordan, Egypt. Years ago, they used to call that the Near East. But now, in our day, we call it the Middle East, just like the nation of Iran in the Bible is called Persia. So names change, but they're still the same places. So when John says in Revelation 1:4, he is saying, John to the seven churches which are in the Middle East, which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, another conditional time statement, and we see this repeated many, many times in the book of Revelation. Jesus, remember, the book of Revelation, verse 1, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not the revelation of John. This is not the revelation of John the Apostle. This is the revelation of Jesus to John. And in Revelation 1:4, John is talking, and he says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, that's one, which was, that's two, and which is to come, that's three. So you're going to see this trifecta statement be repeated multiple times throughout the book of Revelation. It's going to talk about things which were, that's one. It's going to talk about things which are, present day, that's two. And it's going to talk about things which are to come, which is future tense. So, Revelation 1:4, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, how do we know that the first three chapters of the book of Revelation are written to the church? How do we know that? We know that because of places like the end of Revelation 1:5 and the start of Revelation 1:6. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. If you're saved, you got saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what John's talking about here. But there is a group of people farther on in the book of Revelation who have to wash their own robes. We do not wash our robes. Our robes have been washed for us by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then, after we get saved, the Bible says that we are going to be kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, we see the same thing repeated in Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, we read, when you get down a couple verses down, into verse 10. verse 9 and 10. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the books and to open the seal thereof. For thou was slain, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Juanita is asking a question. Is one the day of the Lord? I'm not sure which one that you're talking about. If you could rephrase that question, that would be great. We have a question in the chat room. Juanita is asking, isn't one also the day of the Lord? And I'm not sure what the one is referring to, but as soon as I get some clarification, I will take a shot at answering that question. So when you read in Revelation 1 and in Revelation 5 that God has made us kings and priests, and that we are going to rule on the earth, that is going to be during the time of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. That is when you and I, when we return in Revelation 19, when we return, we are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ during the millennial kingdom. And that is what Revelation 1:6 is talking about, and what Revelation 5, 9, and 10 are also talking about. Revelation 1:7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. That is not the rapture of the church. Revelation 1:7 is not the rapture of the church. It is the day of the Lord. And the Bible says that the day of the Lord is a frightening, frightening period of time. The Bible says, Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. And in Amos 5, verse 18, Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. It is as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall and the serpent bit him. That's Amos 5, 18 and 19. So that is what is being discussed in Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Anne Marie is asking, during the millennium, will we reside in Jerusalem? Yes, but more specifically, we will reside in what the Bible calls New Jerusalem. Revelation 21:3-2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. New Jerusalem is going to come down and hover over the earthly Jerusalem. And you and I, who are part of the body of Christ, Anne Marie is asking, will we live in Jerusalem during the millennial reign? Yes, but it's going to be New Jerusalem, which is going to be hovering above the ground during that thousand-year time period where Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning as the King of this earth. And with that, we have to take our first break of the evening. But we are setting the table for understanding the look at the seven churches. And as you can see, we have already bumped into a couple of things that we had to clear up. We had to understand about conditional time statements. And when we rightly divide them, then we can see what the time period is referring to. When we come back, we are going to dive right in to the seven churches of the book of Revelation. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He rewards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
And we're back for hour two of our look at the seven churches that are found in the book of Revelation. So getting back to Revelation chapter one, we kind of made our way through the most of the introductions and the openings. Angel has a question. She's asking, if there are humans in the millennium, but we come back with Jesus, what will our bodies be like? Human or spirit? When we come back with Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 19, when we come back, our souls will already have been given a resurrection body. And we read about these resurrection bodies in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we are going to look like human beings, absolutely. When you see angels appear throughout the Bible and they interact with human beings, the vast majority of people who interact with angels have no idea that they're interacting with angels. They think that they are just men. And in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 13, verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." So, when we get raptured and we go to heaven, we are going to be given resurrection bodies. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul has many, many, many verses where he's talking about the different types of bodies that something can have. And we are going to be given different bodies. The bodies that you and I have right now are not going to make it to heaven. The blood that is in our bodies right now will not make it to heaven. Think of it like a chocolate bar that's wrapped inside a wrapper. When you look at the outside of the chocolate bar, you have a tendency to look at the beautiful packaging on the outside and the logo and the branding. But when you go to enjoy that chocolate bar, that wrapping is ripped off and thrown in the garbage so that you can get at the real thing, which is the chocolate bar inside that wrapper. That wrapper is thrown in the garbage. Now, that's what's going to happen to your body and my body. And our souls are going to be removed at the rapture. Our souls and our spirit are removed from our bodies. Our bodies cannot go into heaven. And we will be given what Paul calls a resurrection body. And the Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit. Flesh and blood. It says here in 1 Corinthians 15:50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So these bodies that we have, like a wrapper on a chocolate bar, are going to be ripped off and thrown away. And what's inside that wrapper, that's who you really are. And we've done many Bible studies talking about the rich man and Lazarus from Luke chapter 16. And when the rich man gets down there to hell and Lazarus gets down there to Abraham's bosom, in their soul existence, they have eyes and ears and lips and they can talk. They have a desire to drink water. They have a desire to be comforted. So in your soul existence, you have all the features that you have in your physical body. And when you are removed from your physical body, you still have all the features in your soul that you had in your physical body. A lot of that is really kind of a mystery. You can only drill down so far with that, and you really just have to take it on faith that that what the Bible says is true, and of course we do believe that. We believe everything from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Even the punctuation in your King James Bible is there for a very, very good reason. So, let's get back to Revelation chapter 1. We really got to kind of make up some ground here. But it was important to establish the foundation so that we can understand what these seven churches are all about. Revelation 1:9. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation," with a small t, not the tribulation, "and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," this is not a Sunday, this is the day of the Lord, "and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, and here they are, and unto Ephesus, 1, unto Smyrna, 2, unto Pergamos, 3, unto Thyatira, 4, unto Sardis 5, unto Philadelphia 6, and unto Laodicea, that is 7. So those are the 7 churches of the book of Revelation. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. And here it is again. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the 7 angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. So, in Revelation chapter 1, we understand that there are 7 stars, there are 7 angels, and there are 7 churches which are represented by 7 candlesticks. 7 stars, 7 churches, and I gave you the name of what those 7 churches are. Now, let's understand something about angels. Let's understand something about angels. Angels are, they can appear as different things. Angels are not always messengers. Angels can be spirit. Hebrews 1:7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. So angels can be spirits. Angels can also be male messengers. Angels can also be male messengers. Daniel 9:21, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So angels are spirit, angels are messengers, angels are helpers. Genesis 19:1, and there came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And those 2 angels were there to help Lot get out of Sodom. Angels can also be fighters. Angels can be warriors. Matthew 26:53. Matthew 26:53. Thinkest not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Angels can be preachers. Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. The last gospel that is ever going to be preached is the everlasting gospel, and it's preached by an angel. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, and here it is, this is the everlasting gospel, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And then lastly, angels can be protectors. Angels can be protectors. Psalm 91:11 through 13. for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. So, angels in the Bible, they always appear as men. They are always male. Now, am I saying that there are no female angels? No, I am not saying that. I am not saying that there are no female angels anywhere in heaven. But what I am saying is that every angel that appears in the Bible is male. So you can do with that statement what you will. I will allow for the possibility that as part of the host of heaven, could it be possible that there are female angels in heaven? Well, it certainly could be possible. But let me qualify that by saying every appearance of an angel in the Bible, they are always male. And as we just noted, angels can be spirit. Angels are male messengers. Angels are helpers. Angels are fighters. Angels are preachers. And angels are protectors. So, when you see an appearance of an angel, it is not, they are not all the same. And when they appear, they will carry out different roles and functions. And so, in Revelation chapter 1, just quickly to touch on that one more time, Revelation chapter 1, Jesus says, verse 20, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." So, when John sees the resurrected Jesus Christ, Jesus is holding seven golden candlesticks, and he is holding seven stars. And then Revelation 1:20 says, "The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." So, when we go into Revelation chapter 2, we're going to see the church at Ephesus. Keep in your mind that the churches are represented by golden candlesticks, and the angels are represented by stars. And there are seven everywhere that you look. Now, Revelation 2:1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things." Angelique has a question. The seven churches were physical churches. The seven churches are represented throughout the dispensations. Will the seven churches be again in the kingdom age? That's a good question. Yes. In Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches are seven actual churches, physical, earthly churches, that existed when John wrote the book of Revelation. They are also seven earthly, physical churches that are going to exist in the time of Jacob's trouble. And they are also seven ages of the ark of the church. And that is what we're concerned with mostly, because you and I were not alive in the year 96. We have no interaction with these original seven churches. You and I will not be here after the rapture when these seven churches are once again on the earth. So, the main thrust of Revelation 2 and 3 for you and I, the main thrust of these things are for us to look at the complete timeline for the 2,000 years that the church has been here. Now, Juanita is asking, could they be literal stars? Well, it's funny, that term stars. When you hear the word stars, I think of things like Star Search. I think of things like Hollywood stars. And that's what we call famous people, right? If you're a blogger who's famous, or you're a YouTuber or a TikToker, or you're an actress or a singer and you have platinum records, you have hit movies, what do we call those people? We call those people stars. Now, doesn't the Bible say that God knows all the stars, right? And what does he do with the stars? Isaiah 40, verse 26. Isaiah 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, that he might call them all by names by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. Turn to Psalm 147:4. Psalm 147:4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Okay, so the Bible says that God gives the names to stars. Remember when Jesus was coming in on Palm Sunday and the Pharisees told him to tell his disciples to be quiet? And what did Jesus say? He said, if these shall hold their peace, even the stones would cry out. In another place, it talks about the trees clapping their hands for joy. There is so much about our physical world that is hidden from us. The Bible says that the trees can clap their hands and that the rocks can cry out. Do I believe that? I absolutely do. Now, we're not going to see that in our dispensation. Paul says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But there's coming a day when we're going to watch the trees clap their hands for joy. We're going to hear the rocks and the stones cry out. Now, what does that have to do with stars and angels and messengers? These angels are called stars. Could they be actual literal stars in the sky? Yeah, they certainly could be. Because when you do a word search on stars in the Bible, you see that they're very closely related to angels. And there's a whole supernatural component that we can't see with our human eyes. Revelation 2:1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. Every single one of these seven messages are directed to the angel of the church. Now, that angel is the representative of this church, and it represents the church to God up in heaven. The angels in Revelation 2 and 3 are representatives of the seven churches, and they represent these churches to God up in heaven. Now, what does that remind you of? That reminds me of Matthew 18:10. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That's where we get the idea of guardian angels from. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So, getting back to Revelation chapter 2. Every single one of these seven messages are given to the representative of each of these churches, and those representatives are the seven angels. Okay? Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. The time period of the church of Ephesus. Let's just go over the timeline for a second. Because we've been going fairly deep on a number of things, and I don't want to run out of time. So let's just do a quick overview. The church at Ephesus represents the Christian church from approximately 29 AD to 200 AD. So the first church age is the church is represented by the church at Ephesus, and it lasts approximately from 29 to 200 AD. The second church age goes from 200 AD to around 325 AD. That's the church at Smyrna. And then the third church age is Pergamos. And Pergamos is from 325 AD to about 500 AD. The fourth one is Thyatira. And Thyatira is approximately from 500 AD to about 1000 AD. And then Sardis is going to be somewhere around 1000 to about 1450. Right up to 1500. That's going to be Sardis. Philadelphia is going to be 1500 AD to 1900 AD. And then the Laodicean church is 1900 all the way up to the rapture. So, the seven churches that you have in Revelation 2 and 3, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. That are the seven church ages. Now, what does the Roman Catholic Church have to do with this? The time of the Roman Catholic Church begins at the age of the Church of Pergamos, around 325 AD. And that is when the political Roman government, after spending 2.5 centuries with tremendous persecution of Christians and putting their heads on wooden poles and making candles out of their fat and putting them in prisons and feeding them to lions. Well, around 325 AD, the Roman Catholic Church got the idea that if you can't beat them, join them. And Constantine created the Roman Catholic Church. Now, Juanita is asking, so we aren't the Philadelphia Church. No, we are not. The Philadelphia Church age went from 1500 AD to 1900 AD. And that's when you had all those, that's when you have the King James Bible, that's when you have what they call the Protestant Reformation and Martin Luther and all these great men of God and John Bunyan and Pilgrim's Progress. And the Philadelphia Church Age was an amazing 400-year time period where God's Word went forward in spirit and in truth, and you had worldwide revivals, and then all the way up to the 1800s, and you have people like Moody and Spurgeon and Billy Sunday. And right around 1880, 1890, 1901, what do you have? You have the first of the liberal Bibles. and you have the ASV and the RSV, and with each passing decade, we get farther and farther and far, and now we're in the Laodicean church age. So, we are not the Philadelphia church. I wish we were the Philadelphia church. We are the church at Laodicea. So, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. With that, we have to take one more break. And when we come back, we're going to tie it all together. And I hope that this high-level overview of the seven churches is making these things just a little bit easier to understand. We'll be right back.
Start to believe you don't have what it takes, 'cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead.
The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Talking, of course, about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And that's why we're so excited about this new billboard that Bill and Marilyn up there in Milledgeville, Georgia, have put up starting today, asking people if they're going to be left behind. What a great question. Getting people to think about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. The seven churches, and we said this right before the break, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Rome. And what you see when you look at these seven church ages, remember, these seven churches physically existed in the year 96 AD. These seven churches, along with the temple being rebuilt, are going to physically exist in the time of Jacob's trouble. They don't exist right now. For us, we see the seven ages of the church. And it started out, Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And that's why that the Romans could not kill the Christians to the point where they could kill the church. And after 2.5 centuries of Rome, the same people who would start the Roman Catholic Church, after 2.5 centuries of the government of Rome persecuting, killing, and executing Christians, they changed their tact around 325 AD. And then they offered an olive branch to the Christians that they had been persecuting. But it was an olive branch that had poison attached to it. And then that, starting around 400, 500 AD, that's the time period that we used to call the Dark Ages. That is Pergamos, Thyatira, and Sardis. From 500 to 1500 AD, you have Pergamos, Thyatira, and Sardis. That's the Dark Ages, and that's when the Roman Catholic Church basically swallowed the Christian church whole. But just like the whale, when he swallowed Jonah, eventually God made the whale spit Jonah back out. And for 1,000 years, the Roman Catholic Church swallowed the actual church. And sometime around 1500 AD, it was spat back out. And you had what they call the end of the Dark Ages in a time period known as the Enlightenment. And this is a great time of art and of culture. English is now becoming the global language. People like William Shakespeare are they're creating works of art and of poetry and literature. It's like the sun suddenly started shining again. And it is in this time period in 1611 where we have the King James Authorized Version Holy Bible. And how exciting is that? The King James Authorized Version Holy Bible. We are getting ready to open up a bookstore. And we are so excited by that, and we've been keeping you guys in the loop of what's been going on. And I want to share something special with you guys right now. I want to give you a sneak peek, and I haven't revealed this anywhere. I haven't posted it, but we have finalized our logo for the bookstore, and I want to share it with you right now. So for those of you in the chat room, and if you're not in the chat room, you just go to ntebradio.com and you will be in the chat room at nowtheendbegins.com. So if you would like to be in the chat room, just go to ntebradio.com. But speaking of the King James Holy Bible, that Reformation Bible, I want to share with you our new logo for the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore. And we are thrilled. We are beyond excited. And here it is for the very, very first time, the all-new logo for the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore. Take a look at that and let me know what you guys think. But you'll see front and center, built right into our logo, it says King James 1611, Authorized Version, Holy Bible. And then we quote Ecclesiastes 8:4. Ecclesiastes 8:4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. So, the King James Holy Bible was one of those great things that came out of the Philadelphia church period. And for almost 400 years, the King James Bible ruled without any competition. And during that time period, you saw the greatest period of evangelism in human history. And it was very, very exciting time. It was a very fruitful time. And people were getting saved around the world. And it was just an amazing period of time. We call that time the Philadelphia church period. And then when you have the new Bibles that came along, then that Philadelphia church period was over. Now, when we do our tent revival in May, we're, Lord willing, we're going to have the grand opening for the bookstore on May 21st. And I really hope that you guys will be able to make it. I really hope that you'll be able to make it. May 21st, we're going to have the opening of the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore. May 22nd, we're going to have our old-time gospel prophecy tent revival. And then on Sunday, for anybody who's still here and anybody who wants to be a part of it, we are going to do the house church Sunday morning service. We're going to do it live, and we're going to invite you to be a part of it. So if you can make it for our tent revival, for the opening of the bookstore, for the Sunday morning service, you are invited to come and spend some time with us here in America's oldest city of St. Augustine, Florida. So prayerfully consider coming out and being a part of what we're doing here, May 21st through May 23rd. And we dearly want all of you to be a part of it. There's a comment in the chat room. My only change would be to drop the word version, because it is not a version of the Bible. It is the Bible. And I agree with that. I agree with that. But that is what the original translators called it. It was called the Authorized Version, and we will pay respect to that. God raised those translators up, absolutely. But do I agree that the King James Bible is the Bible? Exactly right. I 100% believe that. So just to conclude, the seven churches of the book of Revelation, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. As far as we're concerned in the body of Christ, those are the seven ages or stages that the Christian church has gone through since Jesus created the church when he went to the cross. The Bible said that he paid for it with his own blood. And so it starts out strong. The church at Ephesus and Smyrna, those were strong, strong churches. But then they created the Roman Catholic counterfeit church, and it beguiled and tempted and wooed the actual Christians. And then for 1,000 years, everything mixed and mingled. And then you couldn't see the real church from the counterfeit church. The Roman Catholic Church had swallowed the real church up, just like the whale swallowed Jonah. And when Jonah was inside the belly of the whale, you couldn't see Jonah anymore. And then, of course, when the whale vomited Jonah back out, Jonah had second and third degree burns on his skin from the whale's stomach acids. Jonah was probably missing hair. Jonah was probably in very rough physical shape when he got spat back out of the whale. And when the actual Christian church was spat back out of the Roman church, it came out in pieces. And this is where you get all the church denominations from. Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, all these different branches. And in our day, you have Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, non-denominational churches. There's hundreds of different churches now. And that is never going to go away. That's always that fragmentation that you see, those divisions that you see, that is going to be the state of the church all the way up to the rapture. We've kind of covered these. Now turn to Revelation chapter 3. We only have about 10 minutes left, but turn to Revelation chapter 3. And I want to get you up to speed with where we are right now. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Who is he spewing out of his mouth? He is spewing out the angel that represents the church. Revelation 3:14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write." Everything is addressed to the angels that represent these seven churches. And Jesus said that he's going to spit out this angelic representative that represents the Laodicean church. Now, where is the Laodicean church? Well, you know what we got to do, right? You know what clip I have to play now. It makes you laugh. But there's really nothing funny about it. When you talk about the Laodicean church, that can only mean one thing. Here it is. Here's the Laodicean church talking about angels. We've been talking about angels for the past 2 hours. Now we're going to show you angels and the Laodicean church. Here it is.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says, it is done. The Lord says, it is done. The Lord says, it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven, victory, 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 victory. For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now. Amanda, Ata, Ata, Rata, Teda, Baka, Sanda, Ata, Ambo, Osa, Tata, Rike, Eke, Banda, Ata, Rike, Didi, Ashata. For angels have even been dispatched from Africa right now. Africa right now. Africa right now. From Africa right now. They're coming here. They're coming here. In the name of Jesus, from South America. They're coming here. They're coming here. They're coming here. They're coming here. From Africa. From South America. Angelic forces. Angelic reinforcement. Angelic reinforcement. Angelic reinforcement. Pika hata anda ata ora bata rata anda eke eke manda rasata. For I hear the sound of victory. 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 I hear the sound of victory.
Now, that clip we've played many times for you before, but if you think about it, and we've been talking about all these angels tonight, and the Bible says that in the last days, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Jesus says the fallen angels are going to make a reappearance. And they are. I believe that they're already back. And I believe that people like Paula White, who represent the Laodicean church age, what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 calls the falling away, that's happening right now. And that clip about Paula White talking about fallen angels from Africa, when I hear that clip, it doesn't make me laugh. When I hear that clip, what I think of is that the fallen angels have already returned. And people like Paula White, I mean, I don't even know if she's going to make it in the rapture. I mean, she is as bad gets. And could that be God kind of speaking through her to show us fallen angels coming from Africa? I don't know. I think there's something to that clip. I really do. I listen to that clip and I don't just see somebody who is teaching and preaching heresy. To me, when I hear that clip, she sounds demonic. And it almost sounds like the devil is giving a message through Paula White. I don't know. I don't know, but it's creepy, scary stuff. But that's the time period that we're in right now. The Laodicean church, and Jesus says to the angel of that church, I'm gonna spew thee out of my mouth. Now, the angel represents this church, so the angel is responsible for this church. And this is the church that says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. The idea here is there may be some church people that will be naked at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know. But it certainly presents the possibility. Revelation 3:18, Jesus says, you better buy that gold. Well, it certainly shows the possibility that some people won't buy it. And white raiment, that you may be clothed. They don't have the white raiment. And Jesus is telling them, you better get it. And then verse 20, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, this, Revelation 3:22, this is the very last time that we see the church on earth, this is it. Starting in chapter 4 of Revelation, verses 1 and 2 of Revelation, what do we see? We see the type of the pre-tribulation rapture. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. This is the last time we see the church on earth until the second coming of Jesus Christ. So, the main part of the book of Revelation is chapters 4 through 19. And that has to do with Israel in the time of Jacob's trouble and the great tribulation. And this is why the church is removed. The church is taken off of the earth because we don't belong here. Seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, Revelation 2, 7, Revelation 2, 11, Revelation 2, 17, Revelation 2, 29, Revelation 3, 6, Revelation 3, 13, Revelation 3, 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That is repeated after every message to every angel of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And then, the next time we hear a phrase like that, it is not till Revelation 13:9, but now it's not talking to an angel who represents a church. Revelation 13:9 is not the church at all. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Do you see why that change took place? Because the church is no longer here. So, the seven churches of the book of Revelation represent seven physical churches in the time that John wrote Revelation, seven physical churches that will be here during the time of Jacob's trouble, and it represents the seven church ages from the time that Jesus created the church, all through the persecution, all through the dark ages, all through the 1,000 years of being captured by the Roman Catholic counterfeit in a hostile takeover, going into the Reformation, going into the King James Bible, the Philadelphia Church period, and now we're at the very end of that arc. It's almost 2,000 years later, and that arc is just about finished. And when the pre-tribulation rapture takes place, the church age will be over and done, and we will be removed so that the time of Jacob's trouble can begin. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. I hope that this was a blessing for you. And please share the links to our programs with your friends on social media, through emails. And if these programs teach you the Bible, if they bless you, please share them with people that you think might also be blessed by it. Thank you so much for being part of this program. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday afternoon at noon Eastern time for another edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. And please prayerfully consider coming to St. Augustine, Florida, May 21st, 22nd, and 23rd to be a part of our old-time gospel prophecy tent revival and the opening of our brand new NTEB Bible Believers bookstore. We are so excited to be bringing that to you guys, and we want you guys very, very much to be a part of it. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you Friday.